My son was in this English class where they were discussing Othello with a degree of depth and complexity that in all my years of taking English class and and theater classes and working on Shakespeare, I've never had that level of a conversation about Othello or any Shakespeare play. And the class was taught by Patricia Burke Hickey, who is now a friend because she's awesome and amazing. And just last week, over the Christmas holidays, she was able to see the two productions in New York that are happening right now. The Dueling Othellos, the Othello the Remix by the Q Brothers, who I interviewed a month or so ago on the podcast, and the New York Theatre Workshop production of Othello, starring Daniel Craig as Iago and David Oyelowo as the Moor. Patty, what's your quick, instant, five-word review?
Oh my gosh. First of all, can I say thank you for helping me get those tickets? Or are you
Yes, you were out. You knew a guy who knew a guy.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 526, Othello v. Othello. Hello from London. It's Monday, January 9th, as I record this, and I just arrived here this afternoon to begin rehearsals tomorrow morning for the UK tour of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. I'm so excited to be back in the big smoke on what Matt Rippey calls this big wet rock of an island. My last few trips here, I've not been able to spend any time in central London, so I'm thrilled to be back, tube strikes and all. But meanwhile, in New York City right now, there are two quite distinctive interpretations of Shakespeare's Othello happening. The first is Othello the Remix by the Q Brothers, who I chatted with a couple of months ago. The second is a slightly more traditional but scarily intimate production at the New York Theatre Workshop, starring David Oyelowo as the Moor and Daniel Craig as Iago. It's been totally sold out since before it even opened, but somehow my friend Patty Burke, who teaches English at Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire, managed to get tickets and see both productions on successive nights, and since she knows the play so well, I was thrilled to be able to talk to her about these two quite possibly landmark productions.
The wonderful thing about seeing them both, and I went back to back one night and then the next night, and I went with my son Gavin, who's 17 and has neither read nor seen either play, was to actually go with someone who said, don't spoil it, but just tell me what I need to know before I go. Oh, cool. And I thought, okay, what do you need to know? But we saw the Daniel Craig production first, or really the New York Theater Workshop production first. And that gave him a base for then seeing the very innovative and creative Q Brothers production. So they were both thumbs up in such different ways.
Cool. Well, talk about the Daniel Craig, David Oyelowo production first, because I've read about it, and my friend Tom Shull did the fights for it and was talking to me a little bit about it, and it's very intimate. They're in this bunker, this wooden plywood bunker. I mean, were you close enough to touch either James Bond or Martin Luther King?
Yes!
Wow.
There were four rows in a horseshoe, and we were in row three in the center on one side, and actually Daniel Craig and David Oyelowo actually came up into the audience at one point. And there was a lot of eye contact with audience, especially Iago, because there's so many times where he is speaking to us and saying, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you what I just did. And I know he made eye contact with me a few times. So that was very intimate and the language was very natural. The setting was very minimalist, some dirty mattresses, some accessories of war, Just things that people might bring and keep by their bedside.
It was a modern take, right?
Yes.
In a modern warfare situation.
Yes. Iraq, Afghanistan. And you just had the sense that people were, that the characters were sort of hanging out together, which made it feel much more authentic, that this could really happen the way that it did, because they're in an environment of tension to begin with. Even when they're relaxing, you feel that they're not truly relaxing.
Right, right. Well, yeah, there's no place to escape for any of them. And it sounds like, I mean, this is very much in the text, and I bet it was like this, originally 400 years ago, but the audience becomes Iago's co-conspirators in a little way.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was hoping to get invited up on stage to help with all that, but...
it wasn't that kind of a show. Can I use your sweatshirt to smother Desdemona?
Well, and because what helped with that, and I'm thinking about other productions where the audience is sitting in a dark theater and you definitely feel as if you are watching from a distance, but there you could see audience members across from you reacting as well. And oftentimes the lights were just on.
Yeah.
And then when you needed to feel even more claustrophobic, they used different kinds of very focused lighting, looked like military lighting, but the lighting was very well done too, to really give you a greater sense of intimacy. But then the lights would be on and you could see what people were doing across from you.
Wow.
The actors were right in the middle of you.
Daniel Craig and David Oyelowo bring some star power to it, but they also bring associations that you have with them from their more famous movie roles. Did that help or hinder? Did it take a second to go, wait, that's not James Bond, that's Iago?
Not really, yeah. Because they were so natural in the roles. And they did not, sometimes you have a sense that the cast is having difficulty keeping up with the star power, or that everybody's watching that. But they were very, very well in character, and the rest of the cast was so good. They were real ensemble players. They were not trying to, there was no focus unless it was essential to the text on them.
Well, and also David, from the pictures I've seen, David Oyelowo has really bulked up to become a warrior. So he doesn't look like the meek Southern preacher as Martin Luther King. But you talked about servicing the text. What was it like? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you've seen productions of Othello before. What was it like seeing it on stage? How does seeing it on stage change it from discussing it in the classroom?
Well, you know, when we discuss it in the classroom, we end up looking at various film clips and reading aloud and talking about it as a piece of performance as well as a text. And so seeing it takes the having the text in front of you away, but so much of talking about Shakespeare is what just happened there? Not just what did he say, but what just happened with that look? Yeah. Or why did he turn away from her halfway through that line? Yeah. And so I guess for me, a lot doesn't change because I'm used to thinking, why did he just do that? Oh, that's really interesting. For example, there's that scene with Desdemona and Desdemona, Othello, and Brabantio. And she's been called to the Senate.
And Brabantio is Desdemona's father.
Yes. So her father says there's no way she's in love with Othello. He must have used some kind of magic. Let me speak with her directly. And so they bring her in And Brabantio is standing on one end of the room, and Othello and Desdemona are standing on the other. And as he asks her, "To whom do you owe your loyalty?" And I don't remember the exact line, but she starts speaking and walks towards him and stops and says all the reasons why she owes him her loyalty. And then she stops in the middle of the stage and says, "And yet, just like when my mother married you and she gave her complete loyalty to you, I've married Othello. And so, in fact, that is where I owe my allegiance." And she stops right there, and Othello is walking towards her. And it's a very powerful moment. And it, as it turns out, that's where, that exact spot is where he breaks her neck later on.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. Well, and that's so interesting too, because there have been times where I've seen Shakespeare productions that I go, "God, that was a great moment. I'm going back to the text to find it, and I can't find it because it wasn't a word moment. It wasn't a literary moment. It was a theatrical moment.
Yeah.
That's hard to find on the page."
Yo, it's the Q Brothers.
And we on that. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Yeah.
Where can you RSE the RSE? In the U.S. this month, you can see us perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at Hope College in Holland, Michigan on January 20th. And then on the following weekend, we'll give a special performance of long-lost Shakes for the Shakespeare Theater Association Conference, which is being held at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company in Baltimore. This is one of the largest gatherings of Shakespeare folk in the world, and we're incredibly excited to be going there. And then at the end of the month and continuing on through May will be the UK production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged, which will be traveling the length and breadth of the United Kingdom. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Patricia Burke Hickey about her reactions to the New York Theater Workshop production of Othello and Othello the Remix by the Q Brothers.
So talking about making Shakespeare accessible, the next night after seeing the New York Theater Workshop production of Othello with James Bond and Martin Luther King, you saw the Q Brothers do Othello the Remix. What was that? What was that like? But also, what was it like seeing them back to back?
Well, seeing them back to back was really awesome because they were nothing like each other. And I think the remix is actually the key word in the title, because in the prologue, they say Shakespeare stole his material. And guess what? We are too. So we're telling the story of Othello, but we're, in a sense, they did what Shakespeare does and adapted it to the audience that was sitting right in front of them in a different way. And it was 80 minutes as perfect. Opposed to 3 hours.
Perfect.
It was that the set was, it was still a very small theater, but the set was industrial. Gavin described it as sort of nightclubby. There was a DJ on stage just set off to the right. But there, just like the New York Theater Workshop production, there were very minimal, really not many set changes. They used costumes. Just four actors played all the parts, and they had these half costumes, almost like aprons that they would just put on to play various women, except Desdemona, who was not in the play. She was just a voice, but a voice without words. just notes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
A recorded voice or one of the guys?
I think a recorded voice.
Okay.
A recorded soprano female voice that just sang notes. Oh. And so she was never present. She never spoke. She used, her tone changed, of course.
Right.
But Gavin and I were talking about that afterwards, and he made a very good point. He said that it drew, this production was a lot about Iago. And Iago was very dramatic and actually quite angry in this production.
Okay.
And the other production, Daniel Craig was very subtle. All he needed to do was shift his eyes, or he was very natural, and he was the Iago that you felt like, oh, he could be living next door to me and I'd have no idea.
Right.
The Cube Brothers Iago, you thought, yeah, I might see this coming. I might see this coming.
Is it fair to call that the Cube Brothers Iago more of a punk? More of a just,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
For sure. And
okay.
And his jealousy was palpable.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it was really jealousy tied up with Othello's success in the music industry, too.
Okay.
But the absence of Desdemona really put the spotlight on Iago, and that relationship that he has with Othello, rather than adding this third party in, which just complicates everything.
Right, right. As third parties do. What did the hip hop, you know, beat and vernacular and parlance, how did all of that inform or highlight or explicate Shakespeare's text?
Well, they definitely picked up on the language as music. And the way in which the lyricism of Shakespeare's language, even though it wasn't the original text, there were echoes of words and phrases, but they reconstructed the play as well. So while the other production stayed true, more or less, besides some cuts, to the original text, this was as they said it would be, a theft. They were stealing the story and taking some lines but making it their own. So they owned it, but what they did was something, I think about Shakespeare and how he can be read poorly in terms of you're following that iambic pentameter, you're following the blank verse, or naturally. And they really brought out the rhyme and the rhythm that suited this production well. And they found so much hilarity in a play that, quite frankly, is not very funny. No. And I've never laughed during Othello, but I think I laughed for 60 of the 80 minutes.
Do you feel, looking back on it, that the humor was forced upon it or drawn from it?
Oh, drawn from it.
Okay.
Well, drawn from it, but then amplified in a sense.
Okay.
One of the funniest characters was Bianca, who was hilarious.
Do I even remember Bianca from the play?
No, you may not.
Okay.
She is the strumpet.
Oh, okay.
She is Cassio's woman that Iago uses,
right,
to intensify Othello's jealousy, because when he hears Cassio disparaging this woman and Othello is eavesdropping and thinks that Cassio is talking about Desdemona, and she was hilarious in this production.
Also played by a guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Also played by a guy. And in the New York Theater Workshop production, she was incredibly tragic. She was also a local woman, but she was with Cassio for food for her family, basically. And you have this sense that she was one of the natives of the country where they were stationed. Oh. And very dramatically, Iago slits her throat at the end to keep her quiet. And Desdemona's neck has been broken to silence her. And Rodrigo, who is often killed on stage, is actually kind of killed off stage over in the entryway where you can't even see it.
Okay.
And it's the women who perish in the final scene in that New York Theater Workshop production. And then to the next night, to be able to laugh with and about that same character was an incredible release.
Oh, wow.
It was really marvelous.
If you had some students who had no familiarity with Shakespeare or the play Othello, which production would you send them to?
I think I would have to send them, if I could get tickets.
Yeah.
But it would have to be both, because I think for Gavin's experience, having never seen the play, they lent themselves well also to the sense that there's no one way to interpret any line. There's the multiple. What Shakespeare gives us is this gift of multiplicity, this gift of storytelling that we can do so much with. So I'd maybe even try to find a third. I don't know.
Another take, or maybe just buy the Othello remix album.
Right. That could be listened to. Although I hope I would like a film of that, because there's some great songs.
Right.
That are just so funny.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Othello opinions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, green-eyed monster Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand, and also this week by the Q Brothers. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Will Taylor. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the Q Brothers. I'm still hoping I can get to New York to see Othello the remix. Thanks also to my friend Tom Shaw, the fight choreographer for the New York Theater Workshop production of Othello. One day he and I will sit down so I can ask him what it's like to teach James Bond how to throw a punch. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 526 1578ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Thanks, Tom Shaw.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.